Celebrate 20 years of Sydney Olympic Park with the Anniversary eBook, with over 100 photographs from the games to today. Download it free at sydneyolympicpark.com.au.
I'd like to acknowledge the Eora people of place on Wangal country, the traditional custodians of the land we walk upon. As you travel across Wangal country, remember that this land is sacred and all living things have a place in the web of life. The Wangal are recognised as a centre of the circle of belonging at Sydney Olympic Park. We respect our elders, past and present, and our youth as young leaders who guide us on the journey of healing through belonging.
Looking out on a beautiful sunny Sydney day at ANZ Stadium in Sydney Olympic Park, and the stadium roof is just glistening. And you can almost feel the atmosphere that comes with this stadium. There are so many magical memories for Australian sports fans in that stadium. And I'm not just talking about the Sydney 2000 Olympic Games. Think of all the events that have been here over the years, the NRL Grand Finals, the State of Origin battles, and the different sport that's been held not only in that magical stadium, but within this incredible precinct. 2.2 million people every year come to watch sport here in Sydney Olympic Park. 2.6 million people every year come to play sport here. In fact, 60 sporting organisations have made this precinct their home. So today, I'm talking to three very special members of the Australian sporting community. Rugby league legend Brad Fittler, Sam Fricker from the sport of diving, and Greta Hayes, one of our hockey champions. And I want to ask them about what this precinct has meant to them and done for them. I'm Mark Beretta. On Beyond the Games, we're going to chat to three of our greatest about this incredible sporting precinct and the nest and breeding ground it has become for Australian sporting champions. Freddie, you look out the window behind us and you've got that magnificent stadium, which was the Olympic Stadium. We now know it as ANZ Stadium. But for you, that stadium holds so many special memories. How do you feel when you walk into that place?
Well, last year we got had the privilege of walking through the tunnel, and only the athletes had ever used that before. So the State of Origin team prepped up over on the other side. And it was amazing because never, ever have we all sort of prepped and there's been no noise or no people, but it was this really quite eerie feeling. And then we walked through the tunnel and had some really cool music going, and then we came out of this huge big banner, and to the senses it was bizarre, like going from over there to thinking like no one's around. You know the people there, but you don't really, you know, you haven't really taken that in. But then all of a sudden you come out and you run through right on kickoff, obviously, and there's 85,000, and that was surreal as I've ever felt in a sporting venue. It was, I don't know how the players handled it, actually, because it took me a while to work it all out what was going on. But we won a grand final there. We've lost a couple as well. So I've been on the ground cheering and crying. And being coached now, James Tedesco scoring in the last sort of 30 seconds of Origin to win it.
He's got it back to you-know-who. Tedesco for the corner. Tedesco's over. James Tedesco.
I remember I had this, I just took off, I just reacted, I didn't think, so I'm the coach, so I just ran on the field, and there's this 115 kilo Tongan behind me trying to grab me, security, he tripped on the chair, splat on his face, and I'm halfway in the field and the trainer comes over and goes, mate, if you don't go off we might lose, get off, and I'm going, oh wow, walking around and all the crowd are there just, and we're all just cheering, and you know, it was incredible. I've had some incredible experiences there.
Was that your best?
That was pretty good. As in events, I also was there for Cathy Freeman, and that was pretty out of body as well. You know, it was the pressure on her, and you could feel it. You know, the moment the gun went off, the whole stadium stood and cheered, and no one sat down till the end. It was incredible. Like, it was like it was planned, you know, and I can only imagine what was going through her body. And the other one is most surely, apart from some really good grand finals, I was there for the World Cup soccer when Aloisi kicked the goal. So I remember it was that crowd and I knew it was going to be chaos. I was running along to get out because we had a car to pick us up, and I was getting late and I had something to do the next morning, but then went down to extra time and So we're hanging our head through one of the aisles and just watching every time someone would come up for a penalty, and then we'd go to the next one, so it was close to the exit. And he ended up getting it.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
For us.
He scores! Australia have got it!
Yeah, that was also quite incredible as well. So I've seen some pretty cool events and in amongst some concerts. And I saw the, what's the violinist's name? Andre Rieu, yeah. So I got these grouse seats, but right behind us were the photographers. So me and my wife are sitting there, you know, ready for this, you know, awesome, you know, orchestra, and the setup's incredible. And then all of a sudden the whole thing for about, well, the first hour because we left, it was like instead of listening to the violins and you're just hearing just destroyed it. So my culturalism, if that's a word, it finished there.
So in 2000, you're obviously playing, but you've taken time out, Olympic Games, and you've come over here and you're watching Cathy do her thing. What impact did that have on you as an athlete in Brad Fittler's, I guess, love of sport? What did that night mean to you?
I don't know. It was more the love of this, like Sydney. You know, I think from a sporting point of view, that was as intense as I've seen any athlete under Cathy Freeman in that event. Like everyone in that joint wanted her to win, you know, and the whole build up and the lady leaving and everything. It was just, you know, that was as intense and from a point of view of energy in the stadium that I've ever felt. So I don't know how it affected me from a sporting point of view, but that was at the top from a point of view of what I felt and how it was. But I also watched the Brisbane Cowboys grand final there, and that was one of the best sporting events I've been to as well, which went into extra time and all. You know, some really weird stuff started to happen and blokes are dropping balls off kickoffs and it was bizarre. So that as well was pretty intense. But just once you get in that environment, especially once you've played it and then you go and watch it, I think you want it more. And I think that's why the coaching kicks in as well. You sort of to stand on the sideline and in front of 85,000, your team's down. You know, the result's still there at the death, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Well, those emotions, you just can't pay for that stuff, and that's why people go a bit loopy when they retire. They don't know how to fill that hole, you know. It's you know, once you've had it, it's very hard to fill again once you get a bit older. So that's why the coaching's so brilliant, you know. I sort of get those same butterflies and those same emotions.
You spoke about that moment before State of Origin going through the tunnel, which at the time was considered a bit of a masterstroke. It just seemed to get New South Wales in the right moment to do the job. Where did that idea come from, and how special was it to the group at the time?
So we'd been walking to the different grounds. So we did it at Melbourne, and no one had ever done it before. But you know, I always had a theory, especially at Origin, it's like our rock star moment. And I thought, well, if our players can't handle a walk down through a park, a beautiful park, and walk into a stadium and still go and get prepared, I thought, well, we're no chance of winning. And it started with that. So then the first year we walked from here, the hotel, sorry, just here, over to the ground, and that was cool, and all the people lined it. And it became a bit of our tradition. If you could do it, we used to do it. So, and then when someone made us aware that that was getting reopened, and it was just perfect because it was right near where we trained. And we spoke about it. You know, we had a lot of people come in and talk about those moments, and they walked under the tunnel and, you know, when they came out and how they felt. But I've got to say, like, because when we came out, our blokes ran out. Well, that was ready for kickoff. So there was no stretching, no warm-up. You were into it. So by the time I came out, I walked out with them. It was just electrifying. I can only imagine, like, the 100-metre sprinters or Cathy Freeman, how they felt when they sort of first, just when everyone got sight of them. It would have been pretty enormous, I'd say.
Sam, you come at it from the other direction. I mean, you're virtually, in your sporting career, you're at the early stages of it.
Yeah.
You're here doing your work at the moment in the sport of diving.
Yeah.
Do you feel that sort of the legacy of the precinct and what you're surrounded by here, the history and the knowledge and the skills?
Yeah, well, hearing that, I got shivers. Like, it's crazy to... No, well, the Olympics were held here. All these huge sporting successes have happened here. And the fact that I have the privilege to come and train here every day, it's super inspirational. Just walking through the park and seeing all the photos and everything from the memory of the games, like in the SOPAC itself, all of the walls are full of photos and things full of water from the pool in those Olympic days. And just seeing all those, it makes me feel so inspired to be able to come there and train every day.
And Sam, what was your great memory of Sydney 2000?
Well, I wasn't born, so my parents came down and saw it. So personally, I can just imagine it would have been incredible, but I've heard it was the best Olympics ever.
That's exactly right. Greta, for hockey to be based out here, what a legacy here to be at the venue where the girls won in 2000. You know, so many great teams have trained out of here and gone from here to take on the world. What does it mean in the sport of hockey to be here?
So, well, only the New South Wales program's based here. The Australian program's actually based out in Perth. But it is very good for our New South program to be here. We're run by Trini Powell. So she's head coach. She was one of the girls in the team who won the gold at that Games. So that's pretty cool to have her taking us out on the pitch each day. It is just really good facilities to have out here because we've got the two hockey pitches and then we've also got the gym up the road, which is just so accessible. It's good to have us based here.
One thing I notice here is there's a lot happening in the sporting community all the time. Every time you come out here, it's like someone's training or this sport's doing that. Do you get a bit of a lift out of that from seeing all the sports, I guess, being immersed in that sporting culture?
Yeah, I think it's always cool to see, you know, the teams walking around Olympic Park, no matter what sport they are. It's also cool just going into the gym and being able to see all the different athletes from all the different sports. And, you know, we're all on such different programs. Definitely. And it's also cool when there are hockey tournaments here. We had a tournament at the start of the year and you had all the countries staying in the hotels and we were here at the same time as the rugby sevens. So it was just heaps of people, heaps of sports people around. It's just good environment.
With 400 hectares of parkland to explore, there's never been a better time to experience Sydney Olympic Park. Plan your next adventure at sydneyolympicpark.com.au.
Freddie, what happens out here from a New South Wales Rugby League point of view? What's based here?
So we've got our Centre of Excellence. So it's got we've got a field and we've got a gym and we've got all our offices. And we've been with the Swifts. We've worked with the Swifts before and they've come over and done some training with us. So it'd be great to get hold of the New South Wales, you know, the hockey. And it's always great to share knowledge and share experiences. And I'm sure there's something we can learn from what the hockey people, you know, and how they get to the top of their field. But there's also, you know, we've got some great rehab facilities and, you know, there's some also offices up there. We've got the one thing that we really want to establish is the Armidale University. So they've got a big centre there. So when, you know, everyone's now working on, you know, the science of sport and how to improve that. So, you know, working with them so closely is going to be a real asset to us and I think to all sports that are in this area because, you know, they'll have access to all the best sort of equipment once it's all established. And we've already looked into the sort of the high-tech side of videoing and what's that next level, the virtual reality. And so we've checked that out with them, which is incredible, you know, like to be able to sort of look above and below and all the different angles and just to show you depth of field, you know, from both sides is really impressive. And that'll be, you know, that'll be instilled in all sports within years, I'd say, or as soon as it becomes a bit more affordable. But, that's, I think, you know, from a point of view, I've been to the GWS. It's very similar to the GWS. I'm just trying to think of their rehab room. I haven't really seen it, but it's as good as anywhere in Australia.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it, when all the sports are sort of sharing that intelligence in the one area, which is pretty powerful. From the days you were playing, and you mentioned things like this, you know, virtual reality of watching games and things like psychology and all the different things that have developed, what do you reckon, what's been the biggest change in rugby league you've seen over your years?
The brain, like just, you know, dealing with the brain and, you know, how it handles pressure and without a doubt, like just, you know, the body can only get so fit. And our players are pretty fit at the moment. They're so big and strong. And it's just about how they can stay calm when it's needed and then when to, you know, hit the button, the adrenaline when it's needed as well. And also I think also they're now starting to get into, you know, the energies and different part about working together. You know, Trent Robinson from the Roosters is really big on, you know, just inviting that into everyone's psyche that, you know, it's some people sort of see it as, you know, well, can't see it. While others really see it and understand the value of, you know, that energy in different ways, whether it's breathing or, you know, we do a bit of earthing and stuff, which is a bit of fun more than anything. But, you know, just any way we can get people just more connected. And that's the place where everyone's trying to go now. And I don't think, unless you believe it, you can't preach it, and it's hard to practice because people see through it. But, you know, the Roosters do a fair bit of it, and they're as good as any team I've seen in any code at the moment in Australia from a point of view of just working together. And it's hard to deny it works, and that's definitely the next level, just that connection and, you know, the stuff, I suppose, that they used thousands of years ago, all that energy, and I reckon that's the next step.
Sam, for you, you train in what was the Sydney 2000 Olympic pool. It's been there a little while now. How's it rated? How do you feel about training in that pool? What's it like?
Well, it's definitely my favourite pool in the country. I've been, every pool in the country, it's the biggest. When I walk in, it's just super grand. So, and every major event in the world is held in a big pool like that. So whenever I do travel, it always feels a little bit like home from having such a good, well, it's the Olympic pool. So, and it kind of preps us, I think, for major events. And the size would have to be my favorite thing, being able to warm up next to the pool and look at the boards and just think about what you have to do. And just the facility, it's kept very like clean, it's hygienic, and it's one of my favorite places to go.
Sam, how do you find the courage to do what you do?
I think you've got to have.
And Freddie's laughing.
I used to do bombs. I used to love bombs, but like, yeah, I'm the same. I don't know how you get to the stage where you do more than one twist. There's a point.
It's a combination, I think, of wanting to win more than the fear. Once your motivation outweighs the fear, I feel like then you're in a position where you'll keep going no matter what. And when I started, I made the decision, I would do anything my coach told me to do because they told me to do it and they're my coach. So knowing that I am going to do it makes me train everything, I think, to the best of my ability. There's no bit of doubt in my mind that I'm not going to do it. So I think having that certainty is super important. And when you're saying about dealing with stress or that pressure, yeah, I found that super effective in day-to-day training because you've got to go up and do your dives day in, day out. So whether you find them scary or not, you've got to deal with them, and the easier you can make them for yourself, the easier it is to come in and do them every day.
So do you have bubbles underneath, like in practice?
So,
is that right?
No, yes and no. We have the agitators, which are like the small tricklers that come up so we can see the water when we're rotating.
Oh, gotcha.
But when you're learning a new dive, they have those big bubbles that come up to break the surface. Yeah, so if you did make a mistake, it doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah. And Greta, you have no bubbles or softening on the hockey pitch. You are just hard down, hit the ground.
Yeah. We actually got to go do a diving session a couple of years ago, the N-Swiss girls, with, I don't know if she's still your coach. I can't remember what her name was.
Vanika?
Yeah. And it was so interesting. It was so much fun. But we're only going off the little boards. I can't imagine going any higher. That would be terrifying.
You're still playing hockey?
Yeah. I'm sticking to hockey. Don't think diving's for me.
What do you love about the game?
So I grew up playing lots of soccer. And it got to the point where I had to choose between soccer and hockey because it was just taking up too much of my parents' time on the weekend. And I think the reason I chose hockey was you've got to be super fit and fast to play. So it's not just one or the other. And then there's also the skill element, which had a bigger emphasis for me than the soccer, because you've got all the drags, you can do the jinx, you've got all the hitting and the shooting. There's just so many skills that you can constantly develop. So I think that's what really drew me to it. So I'd go down for little individual sessions with my dad and we'd work on all these little skills and dummies and drags and whatnot. So that's what I really like about it.
Was he a hockey player?
Yeah. Yeah, so he grew up playing hockey and mum also played hockey, but not to the same level as dad did.
So what's the road forward for you? Where do you move? Where do you go next to get to your ultimate goal, which I'm assuming is Australian team Olympics?
Yeah, so the Olympics is the goal. So I've been in the Australian squad since the start of last year. So when I first played for Australia in 2018 and then got put in the squad 2019 and had to move to Perth because it's based in Perth. So I moved over there at the start of last year. But I just had a really bad year last year. I was injured the whole time with a whole list of different things. And the only reason I'm back in Sydney at the moment is because of Corona. So I'm heading back over to Perth in a few weeks' time. And then there's a selection camp in November for the Olympic squad for next year. And then the Olympics.
Will you make it?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. That's the attitude. Can I ask you, each of you, just before we wrap up, just a philosophy, because you've all done incredible things and you're all doing incredible things and the challenges you face are big. But Freddie, what do you say to a young kid getting into sport? If you give them one piece of wisdom about how to compete, about how to win, about how to be successful and happy in what they do, what do you tell kids?
even up to Origin level now, we just practice basics. So, you know, we break the body down on the basics like breathing, hydration, sleeping and talking. And then in a game we do the same, catching, passing, kicking, supporting. The same thing, just absolute basics and do them better than the other one. And if you set a good environment, I think the flair comes out and you allow the flair to come out. We encourage people to pass and to run and do what they feel like doing. So tell all the kids and all our camps, you know, and they get surprised that we do the basics. You are coming here to practice passing really well and to catch really well and to support really well. And that's it. We just drive that.
Sam, what have you learned from the sport of diving?
I think number one, you've got to love it. You've got to love it. And building a good team around you with other people who are going to support and also striving to achieve their own success. So probably building a team and falling in love with what you do.
Greta?
I think I've learned a lot about balance in life. I think it's so important to have things outside of sport to kind of take your attention away during the day so you're not thinking about it 24/7, because I think that can be really overwhelming. And I've learned a lot about dealing with different people and different coaches and being patient and understanding other people's perspectives. And yeah, I think just giving 100% every time you step out on the pitch. You can't turn up and just give 50% and hope to just battle through this training session. And I think that then carries out into everything you do in life.
Music to a coach's ears, that was. Giving your best every time you go every out time. Training.
Can I have a spot? Yeah.
But it is important, Freddie, isn't
it's
it?
Everything.
It's a good one.
Yeah. It's how we train. The idea of training the mind is every time you train, you're going in the same mentality as a game, so you're practicing it. So when you get to the game, you just go out there and you're not stressed, and that's the key, yeah, just to train as you want to play. And it's getting that mindset around being able to do it. And, you know, sometimes it's Tuesday lunchtime, you've got training, and, you know, can you give your best sprint? You know, that's where we try to set them up so they can do it every single time. And it's great watching people trying to do it and going through life and all the hurdles, and I'm sure we had plenty. we had plenty of hurdles. But I also play without phones on cameras and TVs and, you know, like this stuff. So
yeah.
I can't imagine the pressure kids are on now under these days.
The good news is here at Sydney Olympic Park, you've got the best venues to train in. And Greta, when you need to relax, you've got plenty of space. You can get away and take your time, all right? So, which is cool. Great to chat to you all. Great insights into sport. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Watch over 70 videos from mini park rangers to meditation in the mangroves. Find them at sydneyolympicpark.com.au/parklive.